Hello, all. I'm Anna Rose and my co-host.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Welcome to As It Is, Like It Was.
A podcast dedicated to the artists around the world. Before we begin, a note on our content.
As It Is, Like It Was is created for adult use audiences only and may include graphic descriptions of violence, abuse, addiction, and trauma, discussion of sexuality and gender, discussion of mental illness and existential struggle, and some very filthy language.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during As It Is, Like It Was are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Nothing Without a Company.
As It Is, Like It Was is sponsored by you, our listeners. Here's a thing you should check out. We did an online 24-hour play festival with our sister company, Kumukahua Theater. You can see it online from the comfort of wherever you are, anytime, really from anywhere, for free. Go to Nothing Without a Company's Facebook or YouTube to see the six new plays made by 32 amazing artists from Hawaii, Chicago, Atlanta, and more.
This is our second episode airing live on Thursday, April 29th, with guests Marie Treadway and Mike Shaw. Enjoy the show.
One of our two guests today is Marie Treadway. Marie Treadway is a Chicago-based director, actor, choreographer. Directing and credits include the stage readings of Cannibals vs. Kung Fu Zombies, Goodman Theater, Black Box, Victory Gardens Theater, and The Fixer, Steppenwolf. Though through our prospective Asian American play readings, Young Playwrights Festival, Milwaukee Chamber Theater, Spring Awakening, Love and Information, and Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, Three Brothers Theater, and The Invisible Hand, Carthage Theater, Carthage College. Theater performance credits include Jeff recommended Not One But Two, Nothing Without a Company, Chicago After Dark, Artistic Conspiracy, Wild Boar, Silk Road Rising. Marie currently reoccurs on season five of Chicago Med as Nurse Trini. Marie is represented by Actors Talent Group and is a proud member of SAG-AFTRA.
Our other guest today is Mike Shaw. Mike Shaw grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and has been living in Chicago for 10 years. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Speech Communications and Theater and is the managing director of Nothing Without a Company. He has a recurring co-star role in NBC's Chicago Med, playing an X-ray tech Mike, and is an inspiring aspiring world traveler and island dweller. So, Marie and Mike, welcome.
Oh my gosh, Mike, I have a quick question for you because I've never seen this bio and you play X-ray Tech Mike. So did they name the character in the show after you, or was it like they already had a Mike and hired a Mike?
No, they ended up naming the character after me. Since that, once I was got the speaking role, it was X-ray Tech, and then they, since my name was Mike, one of the days one of the actresses was like, "Oh, I'm gonna call your name to get you to come into the room," and then they said my name in the show, and they were like, "Oh, well, your name's Mike." So.
That's so cool. You're like double famous. I think like writers get really amazing things from just actors being there, and it's not necessarily always like, oh, let's use your name. But we did recently this 24 hour where Mike was able to Zoom visit Hawaii through the 24 hour fest, and I think like a lot of that type of creation is heavily based on like what the actors are saying, doing, like listening to, feeling at that time.
And y'all, correct me if I'm wrong, and I feel like film and television is a little less creative than theater in the way that it's like, Mike's his name, let's just use it instead of thinking of something else. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
You know what's funny is also, I feel like all the paramedics have their own name, like their names is paramedic Courtney, paramedic Desmond, paramedic Caesar, which are their real names. And I'm not sure how that came across. I think it used to just be paramedic. And then I think what the same as Mike is that they just love them so much that they were like, well, let's just make it your names. I don't know how that necessarily worked, but I do find that several of the med recurring co-stars have their names, right?
Yeah, I've heard that story before. Part of it has come from the directors and the producers of like, not necessarily like earning, but like, you know, like once you have a name, you feel like you're more established in that universe, you know? And so like, I think they've recognized that from actors, as well as a great story that I heard from Marlene Barrett, who plays Nurse Maggie on the show, who tells a story about paramedic Courtney, who when you know, Courtney was initially there, she was paramedic and didn't initially have the name, and she was in there and she nailed it on her first day and everyone was so impressed with her. And there was a point where Marlene was like, I'm going to say your name. You deserve to have a name. Your name is Courtney. I'm going to call out, Courtney, I need you in here. And you're going to come in with that gurney. And so that came from an amazing actress who Marlene is a force in the acting world. She is so incredibly skilled and talented, but she's an incredibly giving and nurturing mentor on set. She's been so generous with just her kindness and offering you praise and guidance and, you know, offering coaching, things like that, like on set, I've seen to myself and other actors on set.
So we met Mike on set, actually, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, doing some extra work? Well, yeah, we met originally at a League of Chicago Theater thing, and then we re-met.
Right.
And on set, and did you imagine being on like a show like this when we met?
No, because that was, I remember we initially met at a management training through the League of Chicago Theater. So that's probably about 5 years ago. So I think it was about four then. A year later, we were both working, you know, as an extra on the show, just sitting around backstage, you know, and, you know, waiting to see if, you know, we're going to get pulled and, you know, get any time on camera, going to get to do anything, that kind of thing. And, you know, it was very cool that, you know, that first kind of experience of being on set of like, wow, this is cool, kind of actually seeing how it works, you know, behind the screen and all that. But then it seeming so far off that like, I could maybe be one of the people that comes out of the trailers and the people like walk over and put the microphone on and they walk out in front of the camera and they start talking. You know, it was like, wow, that looks like a really fun job that it would take a long time and a lot of work to get to, you know.
You worked yourself there.
It was amazing. But yeah, I remember that first time being like, boy, I wonder the steps that it actually takes to get there. It's amazing that I'm here, but wow, that's a whole nother like level of things that just seemed very cool and far away at that moment.
Yeah, and Marie,
do you both have trailers now? Is like that a thing? Like, do you get named and then you get trailers so your name can be on the trailer?
When you have a speaking role, if you're you know, like a recurring co-star or guest star in the role, you end up having a trailer, which they usually put like your character's name on the trailer, because a lot of like guest stars that come in, they don't necessarily know the actor's name, so it's easy for them, for the production crew, to manage it using characters' names. But you know, then at some point when the, you know, crew feels like maybe you're going to stick around for a while. I know Marie experienced this recently where you get a chair with your name on it. Oh, yeah. It's not just cast, which is, that's one cool thing when you get to sit in a cast chair. But then when you show up and there's a chair that has your name on it, that's a really special feeling. Marie?
Yeah. So I just wrapped my 21st episode and it was this season, the beginning of the year, actually, when they put my name on a cast chair, and it was like such a special moment because number one, it was on my vision board from last year, but also to, you know, it's like you're officially part of the crew when they know you're going to be around for a while. So it just, you know, especially as being recurring, you don't never know if that means once every episode or once every season or every, you know, random time they need that specific role. So it's really great to have that kind of like, you're officially part of the club, you know? So yeah, it's really super special. My entrance into the show was a little different because my name, you know, my character was like written in without me, you know, being there. They were looking for Asian American actress. And so I filled in that role. So yes, ever since I started, that Nurse Trini was always a speaking role. So yeah, but I learned so much my first day. Like, I had no idea what was happening. I just was like, okay, I got to text this person, then this person I have to talk to once I get to my trailer. And then there's another person that kind of follows me around. So it was a big, huge learning experience my very first day on set.
You know, you're kind of famous in Hawaii because there's this thing where when a lot of Hawaii folks watch these medical shows, they're always like, but where's the Filipino nurses? There's always Filipino nurses, a ton of Filipino nurses. Where are they? And then like Chicago Med, you come on and they're like, oh, finally the Filipino nurse. Like, and so I think there's that connection there of people wanting to see themselves in film and theater and in television.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so proud of that. And I'm super grateful because, you know, what's so funny is the writer who created my character actually not only wrote a Filipino nurse in, but based it on a real life Filipino nurse that he knows that cared for his family in LA. And cool. So he said during, you know, because he was on the show for a long time, people would go up to him in LA and said, your medical show isn't authentic until you get a Filipino nurse on the show. And so when he got the opportunity to create it, he said, okay, I know who I'm going to write, and I'm going to base it on a woman, a nurse named Trinidad, Trini for short, and I'm going to write her in. And I'm so grateful that not only I got to represent that, but also represent my own culture and my background, and then get to play that. And so it's not necessarily like a responsibility, but I do appreciate, you know, being able to be that representation, because like you said, there's not a lot of, you know, of that on TV, specifically primetime TV, yeah. You know, on a, let alone on a major network. So even though my role is recurring and it's a, what you say, minor, you know, people see that, and I'm super grateful, and I am, and yeah, hopefully that can, you know, keep going.
Yeah, we were before the pod, we were like talking about food and Jollibee and podcasts, and that kind of like makes me like, or food and like how we talk about food all day, but it kind of makes me wonder like how craft services is like, do they actually like call you and say, hey, do you want Jollibee, or do you want like specific things, or is it just like, Anna's like, don't ask this question, but I know nothing about film or being on set.
I was just thinking that Hannah knows nothing about film.
Like, I want to ask the weird questions, like, what is, you know, I've heard about this thing that you get free food at a table.
Good old crafty. Oh,
yeah. So before pre-COVID, we have really great, it's actually, we're really spoiled. We have craft services and we have catering. So catering does like full spread breakfasts and lunches and like really top gourmet stuff, I have to say. Like the food is always so good. Like catering and crafty too, but crafty is more of like a like prepared like stuff that you can just pick up. And then usually they have what that you call, it's so crazy, it's not a snack, but they call it fat snack, which is basically another meal. And so you'll have two additional like fat snacks, which is usually like tacos or hot dogs. Pre-COVID, every Friday, they used to play hip hop and have sushi and pizza out for us. And that was like fat snack. And so not necessarily like, oh, you know, Marie, do you want Jollibee or do you want this? But then if you're busy in the set, they used to be like, they have chili and hot dogs. What kind of chili and hot dogs you want? And then they'll bring it to your chair. Now it's a little different. Crafty is set up more of like a cafeteria, like a cafe style, where you kind of just have to pick and point and say what you want, because due to like, you know, safety in terms of food and stuff. So it's not just like a kind of free for all anymore. I do miss the sushi on Fridays, because that was, you know, they can't prepackage sushi. Probably be really expensive, but yeah, I do miss that. But yeah, food is good on set, I have to say.
I was gonna ask you, did, when you were able to pick whatever you wanted, were you bringing Tupperware? I hope you were bringing Tupperware.
Not Tupperware, but I definitely, like, even if I was full, like let's say I was full, like we had a late lunch at 2 o'clock and then I wrapped at 4, I would definitely go to Crafty and be like, can I get this and that and bring it home and have it later, for sure. It's like, take advantage of all this awesome free food.
Oh yeah, because when I was in catering, there was so much food thrown around or thrown out at the end, and it made me so upset. So I'd always bring multiple Tupperwares.
Yeah.
I got in trouble at some point, but you know,
A midday wrap, or even like, oh, did you grab some food? Take with you. Make sure if you didn't get like whatever, just yeah, go grab some. Like, they're always like, take more food.
So it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Watch what I eat.
So as it is, that the crafty thing has changed a little bit in the film, and everyone is masked and COVID tested and vaccinated, I'm sure. But sanitation stations, I heard, was a big thing.
Yeah, right? That's a big thing. That, you know, the 6 feet distance between everybody, you know, I mean, it used to, like, there'd be these large, extravagant buffets, and, you know, you would walk up and there would be, you know, someone from the catering staff, like, carving prime rib at, you know, here, and you'd go over there to somebody else, like, chopping up some steak and your, you know, some salmon or whatever. So now, you know, in a giant salad bar, is those kind of things. Now it's, you see, you have all those options, but they're like, tell us what you want, we'll mark it on this thing, and then they package it up and they give it to you, and then, you know, it's more eating in your trailer as opposed to at a communal table with people. You know, that has definitely been a big change, largely, you know, for sanitation and safety.
Do you think it's gonna eventually be back to like it was?
I see what you're doing, Anna, and I love that.
I know. I'm like, oh, good. I'm connecting these dots, and it's fantastic. I'm a big fan.
I'm not sure. Right now, the way we got back to work was really great, because SAG, the DGA, IATSA, which are like the local union Teamsters, like, they all got together and were like, this is the protocols of what we're supposed to follow in order to have a safe set. And to be honest, I don't see, like, vaccination mandatory, like, sets. Like, I feel like that would infringe on a lot of people's, you know, things. So it's kind of weird to say, but I don't know if it's going to go back to normal or pre-COVID. I wish it would, because I was telling one of the customers how much I missed, like, lunches. Like, that was a one time where you don't have to worry about, like, being, you know, rushed, or we all got to sit around and chat and get to know each other. And I really, really miss that. But I don't know if that's going to be happening anytime soon, until we get, like, you know, huge, like, decreases in, like, COVID cases. But I feel like, you know, inherently, you know, nothing is 100% safe or, you know, or, like, foolproof, but I do feel super safe when I'm at work. And they really do a great job of, like, the way the protocols are set up. We're tested every day, all the actors, you know, and everybody in this specific zone that works with the actors, we get tested every day on a different soundstage. So even if you do get the positive, like, you never even step on the stage where everybody works, you know. And then on top of that, you know, there's just so many protocols set in place. So I never felt, like, worried or like unsafe, which is a really great thing, particularly in our work where we do have to take off our masks. So I'm super appreciative of the show and the networks for keeping us so safe. Mike, I don't know if you wanted to add anything.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was obvious from up front. They really recognized that. I mean, especially for those of us that have to be there and take off our masks in order to do our job, right? Within close proximity, less than 6 feet of other people, right? I mean, my first day that I stepped on set, I was so impressed, because it's like, they just, you know, all of, you know, the, like you said, the WGA and IATSE and SAG and everybody got together and put all these protocols in place, and everyone went, I mean, all of production crew, those people that, you know, from all levels, whether it was, you know, catering or wardrobe or, you know, PAs or whatever, like, they all trained so hard. It was obvious they worked so hard that they wanted to make sure everybody was safe. Like, I showed up and it was a well-oiled machine. I was so surprised. I'm like, wait, you haven't been doing this for years? This feels like we've been doing this for years, but this is the first time I've done this, and I was just here a couple months ago and we were not doing this. You know?
Yeah.
It was really impressive.
To the point where the days are shorter now. Like, it's so, remember when you used to work like 14, 16 hour shifts? Now it's like clipping along. I'm like, oh, we're wrapped, we're done. You know, it's like,
They're pushing in and out a lot quicker. It's, you know, so I think some of that, I think it's going to kind of be a hybrid in the future, you know. I mean, again, I agree with Marie. I think, you know, we can't force, you know, sets to you know, require vaccinations and whatnot. So we're going to have to keep testing. So we're going to have to keep doing these things. And I think some of these things, you know, people have learned, oh, you know, maybe they make my job easier. Maybe they make the job more effective or better. You know, but I mean, as far as safety goes, and everybody has been 100% committed. Like, you know, again, the first day I showed up, every single person was like, okay, we're going to do this because of this. And if you have questions, this and this and this and this. And I mean, from like little contact tracers that we wear in our pockets so that if anybody does end up testing positive COVID, they know exactly how many people you have been in contact and when and where. So that, you know, that helps all of that kind of stuff. Like it's every single thing I could possibly think of, you know, they're doing. And, you know, the entire time it's like, okay, we're doing this because of this. And it's very, very well explained, you know, to me as an actor when I'm on set. So like, I know what to expect. I know why they're doing these protocols. And it does, it feels like people are there trying to take care of me. And that makes me feel very safe.
And it seems in film and television, like, it makes sense that opening up to work again, like, just makes so much more sense because you can be 6 feet apart because you don't have this live audience aspect, because you're not in rehearsals for 2 months before you do a month of run type of thing. Because I wonder in theater, like, how we're fully gonna get back to it in that way, because like you were saying, can we force people to get vaccinated? No. So how do we make these decisions to keep our actors safe? What happens to kissing scenes? What happens to other types of physical contact scenes? And so it's just interesting to hear like how the film industry is able to do this in such a safe way. And will theater ever be able to be not online anymore at some point?
And a big difference too is theater has a live audience versus film and television. It's the crew, so they can be masked and follow protocols.
I mean, there are still even changes in the protocols for film. Like, you know, for example, with Chicago Med, with the set, there's, you know, the little like emergency room, the trauma rooms and things like that. And with COVID regulations, only so many humans can be in that room at that time. Like, you know, well, we're in there and we're unmasked. Like, you know, with me and Marie and the other actors that are in there, only so many of us can be in there. Once they reach a point, we're like, oh no, wait, now there's 8 people in without masks. That's over the number. So then, you know, they've got COVID coordinators and you know, the COVID police that are on set to help make sure that everybody is staying safe. So, you know, they'll be like, oh, wait a minute, let's count and let's see this stuff. So we'll have to like make changes. And even like with background, there's less background. We're, you know, we're spread out more. They're, you know, doing different things and using camera angles. So I think there's also, I think it's been a challenge to creativity. And so I think that we're going to see a lot of that coming from theater artists of how are we going to do hybrids of, you know, do things online, maybe with small audiences and also have or do in person with a small audience and online, you know, to get the larger numbers in there or, you know, but it's the creative challenge to me, I think of finding new ways to do things.
I totally agree. I think what I see the toughest part of the theaters is the fact that the film and TV world is in a financially better position to provide. You know, I know testing is expensive. I know they're spending big money every week, every day, testing everybody. And theater doesn't, especially like non-equity theater, doesn't have, you know, those options. So I think that's the biggest thing with, you know, already the dynamic is already like this. And how do we keep our, you know, theater production safe, you know, if we don't have the resources to test every day, you know? So I think that's the biggest hurdle that I see. But I feel like as artists, you know, like what Mike said, the creativity sometimes is what really boosts, you know, theater, live theater and theater artists. So I'm looking forward to figuring out how we can do it creatively and on a budget, because that's what theater artists do.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I think you also make a really, really strong point, Marie, that, you know, in order for artists to continue to thrive and be creative and come up with all these new ways to do things, they need support.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, to your point, the small, especially the small non-equity storefront theaters in Chicago, for example, you know, don't have the money that, you know, NBC and the Chicago franchise has, right? So, you know, how, you know, it takes more than just, ooh, I have a fancy idea. You know, well, great. How do you pull that off? You know, NBC has the money to pull off the fancy ideas and do some CGI things, or, you know, reuse people here and there, or whatever they need to do. But, you know, the theater doesn't have all of those luxuries. So, you know, it takes it. I you know, like I said, I think it takes a lot of creativity, but also to your point, how do we find that support to also, you know, get people to say, hey, we want to see this kind of theater continue to thrive.
Yes. Well, and also I thinking about it too, right? Like Nothing Without a Company does a lot of like site specific work. So I feel like now with the new mandate of like outdoor is so much safer than indoor, like a lot of outdoor, like site specific work would be so awesome. You know, in that one, Batu was always such a special moment. It's such so full circle because every time I've done a lot of these podcasts now, you know, throughout the Zoom year or throughout the COVID pandemic year. But like, I always go back to Not One But Two because it really, I always say like, that's what gave me the start. It was like my first Leave Chicago role and like people saw me in the show, casting director saw me in the show. And that's how I got my start. But like that like outdoor, like special moment of like, the very specific play for the right place at the right time. I would love to see more of those because it's such a special thing, especially when you get all of the pieces right. So I don't know. That's, you know, not to toot our horns or anything, but I mean, it could
is
be
there any
to do it.
Yeah. Is there anything that you miss from now that you're, you know, a star in the television world? Do you miss anything about theater?
Yeah, I miss everything about theater. You know, I do have to say, like, it's so weird because we're like, Mike knows, right? We get called into rehearsal, which basically means we read the lines, but we have to keep our masks on. It's like 5 minutes of like just reading the lines with each other. We're not really connecting because half of our face is covered. You know, it's just this short amount of time, and then we have to figure out logistically, and it's a medical show, so we have to figure out technical things at the same time. So it's not like rehearsal, how we lovingly like craft it and collaborate in a theater room. And I feel like I miss that so much. And it's one of those things where it's like, I can do like short directing things and stuff, but I haven't been able to act or in anything since I've been in on med, because my role has been kind of almost, if not every episode, almost every other episode, and my schedule just doesn't allow it. And I just miss being in the room and having that like creative collaboration and like working for hours as opposed to like 5-10 minutes before you film a scene. You know, I miss that so much. I just miss like being in the room.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I was lucky enough to have a production of Aloha Friday, which is the third of the Drug Trilogy. And I was able to be there for some rehearsals in Hawaii, but it was all through Zoom. And so it was weird to see how these actors who possibly had never met each other had to build this connection through a screen and not being able to like really like reach out and touch someone or like actually gaze into their eyes, because then you're gazing into the camera and not the person. And yeah, so it was just one of those things where I've noticed now the couple of times we've done this hybrid online type of theater that it's almost a mixture of live theater and film.
Absolutely.
And it's like this weird little medium in there.
Yeah, and Hannah and I have been like kind of nervous about doing anything online. And I think your participation with the third of the trilogy kind of opened your mind to doing more stuff online and doing something like this. And, you know, we figured out some self-care tools that we incorporated during COVID, but I'd love to hear from Mike and Marie what things y'all kind of have been doing to help you cope with this crazy time.
I went through kind of cycles at the very beginning. I'm going to do things and stay busy. I have all this time now. Isn't this great? Okay. I'm going to stay positive and be like, okay, yes. Nope. Keep smiling. So, you know, I was, oh, people are doing webinars. This is great. You know, as a member of SAG, they were doing so many webinars, which was incredible. I was like, oh, eating it up, just eating it up. You know, there's the Kauffer Resource Center here in Chicago, which is another resource for SAG actors, which has been doing incredible things. So I was trying to do that as much as possible. And then, you know, started to actually work on my own projects, decided to like start writing little scripts to do little kind of like videos that I could put out on YouTube things, just to kind of work through my own stuff. It was kind of a little self-care thing. but you know, like it's, I've never been really good at like meditation or like any of that kind of stuff. So it's, the pandemic actually forced me to slow down. I finally reached that point where I was like, okay, I keep running, but I'm still inside of this apartment and then I can't go outside and there's nowhere for me to run to anymore. And now I'm here. Okay, time to deal. So like, I actually started like, okay, what are, focus on me as opposed to like, you know, the exterior thing. So started to actually be able to meditate a little bit, which really led me to be like, oh, I can be still. It's this is a time where I learned to be still. And you know, just being like, you know what, I'm gonna go take a walk because I can go outside in my neighborhood. I'm gonna wear a couple of masks and you know, luckily I'm 2 blocks from the lake, which was a really, really lucky for me. Because there's like a nice little trail that I can go walk down. There's really not many people there. So, you know, mask up, go for a walk, at least get some air and some sunshine, especially lately. But just really just giving myself permission, I guess, to take time for me and to hold space for myself has really been my biggest self-care takeaway from this time of just, you know, being able to slow down and not having the monotony of the world spinning around me all the time and pushing me along. Was like, oh, the only thing making me do anything right now is me. So if I'm really tired and feel like taking a nap and it's 4 p.m., all right, yeah. I'm going to let myself do that right now. And yeah, so that was new, but that was kind of my big thing, is just allowing myself to have time for me, you know, whether that's, I want to watch this show, or I want to sit down and play a game, or I just want to lay on my bed and stare at the ceiling for a little bit. Like, you know, just finding the time to be present with myself, I guess.
That's so interesting. When you were speaking about stillness, because it made me wonder, like, you're unintentionally working on your craft as a film and television actor, because like, it's so subtle, like the movements you do in film and television is so subtle. So it's almost in that way that, I don't know, that's what resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had the exact same thought too. Yeah. So, and I have the same issue with going and thankfully after a few months, I said, stop, Anna. Stop.
And then a few
things.
Months later, she went go again.
Oh, Marie, you have a family with little ones. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I mean, and you all know me by now. I'm always go. And so, like, right before everything shut down, I was filming Med. I was directing my first thing at Silk Road Rising. It was like my very first equity gig. And then I was also choreographing something for my old college show. I was go. And everything shut down. And I didn't know what to do with myself, because it wasn't like I was just at home. It was like, we were all at home. I had to like adjust to my husband who usually works like 60, 80 hours a week. Like, we were all home. The kids were home. And so I had to like learn how to like, just like what Mike said, like sit with myself. So like, I had to find ways of like coping, like anxiety, and like, there was so much like unknown, particularly when everything shut down. So it was like really like stressful. And so like, it's really weird, but like anybody who knows me who follows me on Instagram knows like I do this thing called morning stir. And it's literally me stirring my coffee and ice like this. It's like ASMR, right? And so now I've done it for this whole year. And now every time I don't do it, somebody's like, oh, I miss morning stir. So now it's become like this like collective, like, let's just listen to ice clinking for a few seconds every morning. But little things like that. But as a Gemini, I went through phases. So I did like the sourdough phase. And then I did the all banana bread phase. Then I just started organizing my entire kitchen. And then I did the home decor phase by room by room. And then by that time, when I got tired of the whole house, like, we were able to go outside a little bit. We have a grid, like Mike said, our neighborhood up north, we have a private lake for all of the neighborhood. So we were able to do that, like go swimming in the pier and like picnic. So that was really nice to have during the spring, summer. So just finding like moments of like grief, like gratitude, and like sitting, like just sitting and being with my family was like a very special time. Oh, and I became a plant mom. I always thought I was going to kill plants like anytime I got them, but now I have over like I think 25 plants and they're thriving. So I'm really, really proud of myself for that one. So I've done phases through this thing. Well, my plants are still alive, so I didn't grow out of that phase. but yeah, so, but it's so funny because back to the meditation thing, right? I always used to think when, like, you know, when you hear celebrities are like, oh, I'm practicing this kind of meditation or I'm doing this spiritual retreat. I always used to think, be like, oh my gosh, that's so LA. But now that I'm working, we're working with all these people, you have to have that for yourself, because I feel like particularly with like our series regulars, you know, the One Chicago fandom is like hardcore. And Mike knows, like even us as recurring co-stars, we get messages on the daily like, oh my gosh, we love you so much. And it's great and it's amazing, but it's a lot of like energy, no matter even if it's positive or negative. And you have to kind of Tori actually really said it well. She's like, you have to kind of like have a hologram of yourself or a symbol of yourself outside and channel all that energy, because if you let all of that consume you, it's not good. Like even if it's positive energy, and what she really said really resonated with me, because you know, not a validation thing, but it's just a lot for to take on, even if it's friends or family. It's just always, so it's good to have to kind of remove yourself. And I think meditation and like mindfulness is such a huge thing to practice, particularly in an industry where it's a lot of energy and a lot of things that you have to kind of combat and also try to channel in different ways. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a massage therapist and energy worker. And before I went to massage school and I learned from some Reiki practitioners how to kind of put up a wall, I was sucking in people's energy and letting them suck my energy. And, you know, you really got to find a way to make interactions work for you, not work for it.
Yeah, no, it's really, you don't even think about that, right? Like particularly as I would say as artists, you know what I mean? We're always not seeking validation, but it's always like, are we doing the right thing? Like, especially as an actor, I still wrestle with imposter syndrome, but like even the good energy, sometimes it's like all the praise and like compliments that you get, like after a while, it all becomes muddled and we have to learn how to filter it and like still also at the end of the day, take off our costumes and be human beings. And I think what I realize is that I'm not just Nurse Trini. I'm not just an actor, right? Like I'm Marie and I can do all of these things. I think that's like a huge thing that I've learned in the last year, you know?
And with like live theater and having that live audience, I guess like when the audience is giving you energy while you're performing, that's a different type of energy you're getting because you're performing. You're not you in that moment, even though you are. And so, yeah, it's that weird thing of like, I can suck in all this energy while I'm performing. And then after the show, I just want to like go home and do my thing, smoke my bowl, whatever.
yeah. It's very interesting. I think like it comes, especially with social media, it comes like in different times. Like, you know, with theater, you're on stage, you get that energy and that feedback immediately, you know? So, you know, at the end of the show, you get applause or you get boos or silence or, you know, whatever. And you know how you did, you know, kind of a thing. But you know, when, you know, you're working on camera, you don't get that feedback from the audience. So, you know, I mean, luckily you get that from co-stars and from, you know, others on set kind of, but you don't get that like audience kind of feedback. Right. So, you know, that sometimes comes later through social media and that kind of stuff, which then you're getting that external feedback, which, you know, as an actor we feed on, but also it can be dangerous, you know? So back to number one, you know, Marie's point, but also the point earlier about, you know, your character being named after you and whatnot. That was, you know, that was a lesson I had to learn as well, that X-Ray Tech Mike isn't Mike. That Mike is not X-Ray Tech Mike. Even though they named him after me, he's still a character, right? And he's still not exactly like I am just on TV. You know, he's different from me. So that, you know, when people are making comments about me, when I see and hear things, you know, whatever it's about, because people have seen me on TV now, that and some things I've heard are not great. Some things are wonderful, you know, but it's you got to be able to learn to take that stuff with a grain of salt. And, you know, to Marie's point, that's an incredible lesson about saying, okay, I can put X-Ray Tech Mike over here. And whether you're saying good or bad things, that's fantastic. But that's separate from me right now, because now I'm at home and I'm just me. And I don't have to be the actor. I don't have to be the person responsible for anything. I don't need to answer the questions and be here by this time and make sure that I'm on set by the, you know, get to on set for rehearsal and then over to my hair and makeup and then over here for this and then, you know, go get mic'd before, you know, they want to roll. It's, you know, it's okay. I'm back on my time. I can be just me again. Yeah. You know, that's different.
Yeah. Marie, I'm actually really glad you brought up imposter syndrome. 'Cause I think that I feel like almost all of us have that, and it's not necessarily an actor thing. I think everyone needs validation in whatever way that they need. Like sometimes Hannah and I will work on a big project with lots of people, and then we'll come home and ask each other to say how good we did to each other. You know, sometimes you just need to hear that. And I also realized during this pandemic that I have like major anxiety, and what it looks like for me is I'll do something like a podcast or something, and then I'll go home and I'll think about everything I said and if I said the right things, and I'll just think about it over and over and over and over. And I never realized my whole life I felt that way and I thought that way, and I didn't realize that it was anxiety. So I think it's good to just figure out how to name those things and also have people around you that can help you in giving you what you need for validation.
Yeah. And a healthy validation.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange too, because when I thought of imposter syndrome, I was like, oh yeah, because I say I meditate, but I really just like watch really bad television, but then I don't actually I'm not intaking the information at all. So then I have to go back and rewatch the same episode because I was like phasing out on it. And I'm like, oh, that's such imposter meditation, because I'm not like sitting there trying to be still, trying to let go of thoughts. I'm just literally like zoning out on it.
But no one's telling you that that's wrong. It's only you that's telling you that's wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say what you just said. It was because I do the same thing. Like I'm always like my brother was like, you got to watch this thing, and I was like, after I finish the Real World Road Rules Challenge, it's like so embarrassing to admit that I watch stuff like that or Survivor. But it's one of
the circle is my jam right now.
Right? So like, but it's one of those things because I can either concentrate on things and not have to like, or concentrate on like, I don't have to concentrate on it. I could do other things like wash dishes or do whatever. But also like, I love the idea, like what you said, like you can phase out and not even like, it's not a huge deal. Like it's not like I'm watching something like, you know, like Sound of Metal or something where I have to like be tuned in or what's going on. And that is a way of like meditating, because it's like a self-care kind of thing, even though you're not, you know, it's not what the norm is, you know?
Yeah, I have like the television on for 8 hours a day ish, and like
my guilty pleasure right now has been cartoon movies, like Disney and Pixar and like all that kind of stuff, like kids family movies. I'm going to like Hulu and Netflix and like the family kids section. Give me all of those. You know, like I most recently watched like Bolt, about the little dog that was like, you watch it? Yeah, I watched it too. He was great. They're Paranorman. Like there's all these great little ones, and like they're cartoons and they're super cute and fun, but it's like, it doesn't matter if I'm really paying attention to it or not. So like, it gives my brain like that break of like, okay, I can just, it doesn't matter whether I'm paying to it, you know, attention to it or not. And it is kind of, I think that is a form of meditation. It does, you know, I do feel a little bit better after that.
Yeah,
it's like decompress, like your mind doesn't have to like think hard.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Do you think the tools that you use during that you've figured out during COVID, do you think there are tools that you're gonna, you know, keep in your daily living and in your life, or do you think you're gonna throw them away and go back to what it was before?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things is like, I was at Six Flags on opening day with my brother and the kids. And like one of the roller coasters that I thought I was going to freak out at, it goes like up and down and up and down. I was like inadvertently breathing through them to where I wasn't screaming. I was just like, this is scary. And I'm just breathing through. So like, I'm finding that like I'm using these techniques like in my life, whether I realize it or not, or even like I find that the days that I do meditate and I really, you know, I'm very mindful of like that, I'm more gentle, I'm more patient with the kids. So I feel like it is one of those things where I want it to be a practice of my life, because, you know, ultimately, yes, it helps me with work. It helps me with like who I am. But, you know, I feel like the quality of life is improved with things like that. You know, when you're more mindful of how, you know, you react, or where you're, where it's almost like you put your mask on before you put mask on your kids, right? Like you're taking care of yourself. And then that way I can take care of my kids better. So I definitely think that I will be making like the same, you know, going through these same practices, you know, long term as opposed to short term.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, you know, the long term, it's been a positive effect. You know, ultimately, it's, you know, taking the time to be mindful about myself and taking time for me, you know, has allowed me, kind of like we talked about before, you know, helped me to recognize my own anxiety and where the anxiety level comes in, and where, you know, I'm like, oh, that's an anxiety thought. I don't need to go there. You know, to, you know, fighting imposter syndrome and all those things of, you know, learning to make choices. I recently just did a self-tape audition yesterday. And, you know, like, but thanks. I mean, when I first started, you know, when I first got signed with an agent and started getting these, you know, like feature film auditions and things like that, it was, you know, or going into like my first auditions for, you know, Chicago PD and that kind of stuff, it was like, okay, I need to make the right choice. I have to choose what this director wants to see. And I want to need to choose what the producer wants to see, because acting is all about choices, right? So I got to make the right choices. And what are the right choices? You know, so, you know, like, for example, this most recent audition, I'm like, what choice do I want to make? What do I want to do with this character? I'm doing that. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to love it. And if they're not, hey, that's their loss. They'll find somebody that will work great for their thing, but I'm going to do this my way. And, you know, like, that's the way that I'm beginning to approach that. And, you know, it's through the pandemic and through sitting here and having to deal with my thoughts and, you know, sit with myself has led me to, you know, be able to do that, where I wasn't, you know, I wasn't as strong, wasn't as able to do that before. So, like, absolutely, I hope that, you know, I will be able to continue this. You know, I mean, luckily the world isn't just going to 100% reopen and go back to exactly like it was. Because, you know, it needs to change for the better anyways. that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, it makes me think about when we were kids, right? And how we had these moments growing up where we did have to sit with ourselves a lot because we couldn't go out and play for whatever reason. And maybe your sibling wasn't there if you had one or not. And so this pandemic has kind of brought me back to that feeling of like, oh yeah, this is what it's like to just be with me. And I forgot while growing up to hold on to that.
I love that point. But yeah, I would second that in saying that it's almost like the ability to find yourself again. You know, like you get so busy with the minutiae of the world and the jobs and the friends and the transit and got to pay for this. And do I need a bus pass, or am I getting going out of this and that and grab the groceries and feed the kids and the school clothes and everything else, right, that goes on in the life. But then when you're actually being like, oh, hey, I remember when I liked this. Like, there's some things that I'm like, oh, wait, I have a favorite color. That's right. That's a thing. Like, you know, even some simple things that you kind of forget to think about. You're like, oh, right, I'm a full human being and I can exist on my own. That's cool.
Yeah, as an introvert, extrovert, I kind of prefer to never go back to how it was and just kind of like stay in some sort of medium where I can just be like, oh, sorry, can't see your show. Got to like take care of my own things right now. Or like, I mean, I do miss the theater and I do miss going to see folks shows, but like it became a point when you're in the community, it's like every day, every weekend, and Monday's no longer a dark day. There is no dark days. When do I get a day off of participating in art?
Yeah. That's such a great point. Yeah. So hopefully I feel like we can like find a happy medium, you know, of like between the hustle and bustle and also like the really the slow moments, and like finding a happy medium of like, this is a day that I'm not going to commit to anything and it's just going to be me. And even if it's just 10, you know, hours of the circle or whatever, like that's what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to turn my phone off and we're just going to hang out. And then every other day it can be hustle bustle. But I feel like what's the you know, one of the good things about the pandemic, it's really shown us like that we can all slow down. And if we don't slow down, sometimes things force us to slow down and we make it work. You know what I mean? Yeah, the world kind of stopped, but like we made it work, you know? And yeah, so finding the good and all of the crazy has been really nice, of like, just, you know, spending time with the kids, doing TikToks with my kid, you know, like just silly stuff like that, you know, that usually I'm like, I'm so busy, like, let's do that later, has been really, really, really wonderful.
Yeah, humans are so adaptable.
Yeah. So we are running out of time, and I just want y'all to have as much time as you want to promote any projects you have coming up, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a film or theater project. It can be something that you're working on as a
like thing. Stirring spoons in glasses with ice, right? Like.
I do have, actually, I'm thrilled to be directing a virtual play reading of The Intelligent Design of Jenny Chow for Third Avenue Playhouse up in Door County. Thrilled because it's an Asian American lead, but also I've cast an all BIPOC cast. So I'm really, really excited about that. That's taking place on June 4th. So that's super exciting. Also, having an all BIPOC cast for a playhouse that is in Door County, which is a predominantly white institution. So I'm super proud of that as well. So if you would all love to support that, I will be sharing links on my social media soon. So I'm really excited about that project.
That's awesome. Fantastic. You know, just keep watching Chicago Med, buy our DVDs. If you haven't, check out that super fun 24-hour fest with Nothing But a Company and Kumiqua Theater that we just did. That was a lot of fun. Looking forward to collaborate with them again in the future. And support social change. As a cancer fighter of 18 years, healthcare for all, the corporate theater business structure is bogus and needs to go away. There's no reason, like Maria was saying before, that as a theater artist, I should have to be the one that has to support the theater as well. All of those things. Get corporate cannabis out of Illinois. You know, social equity for everyone. And hey, love yourself and your neighbor.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on As It Is Like It Was. I am Hannah E.E. Epstein, and you can find me on Instagram at HCAT5.
And I'm Anna Rose E.E. Epstein, and you can find me on Instagram at Anna Rose E.E. Epstein, spelled I-I-E-P-S-T-E-I-N. And then also, if you're into boycotting corporate cannabis, check out my badass social page on Insta, True Social Equity and Cannabis. Marie, how can the people find you?
So I'm probably most busy, I guess, what is it called? Present on Instagram, Marie G Tred, no A, Marie, MarieGTred. And that's my TikTok is the same. So yeah, those are pretty much my super present media channel. So I'm always posting stuff on there about work and my daily life. You'll get to hear this, you know, so yeah, I would love to see you on there.
And if you want to hire Marie Treadway as an actor, please visit Actors Talent Group.
And Mike, how can the people find you?
Find me on Insta at Mike V Shaw, S-H-A-W.
Perfect. Thank you so much to our guests, Marie Treadway and Mike Shaw. Thank you to our audience. You can support As It Is Like It Was by donating at nothingwithoutacompany.org. Share the podcast with your friends and family once we actually have it online. And subscribe, follow, and like us on the socials.
And that's the lowdown down.